All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Monday, July 9th, 2018. I'll ask the clerk to call roll call.
Mayor Dewey?
Here.
Councilperson Holcomb?
Here.
Councilperson Barker?
Here.
Councilperson Michelson?
Here.
And Councilperson Smith?
Here.
All right, if you'd please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we don't have any minutes to approve tonight. Those will be on the next town council's agenda once Audrey has a chance to catch up on the last three meetings. On the agenda tonight is approval of the bi-weekly claims. Ms. Holcomb.
I'll make a motion that we approve the bi-weekly claims.
It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb to approve bi-weekly claims. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, Ms. Barker seconds the motion. Is there any discussion on the claims from the council? Mr. Smith.
Well, I noticed we have a boiler issue on here, and we just spent some money on it, and then I know George is probably going to give us more information on that.
Yes, the repair didn't work. It got us through a little while to keep the pool warm, but after operating it further, we've discovered that the boiler is no longer serviceable and will be replaced. Further questions from council on the claims? Ms. Barker.
On the claim number 14539, I guess I've never seen it broke out quite like this before, and I'm wondering why we're broken it out like that. The Black Mountain software.
Just to show you the detail, there's a number of different accounts that pay for, between the general fund, water fund, and sewer fund, and building department that pay for that software. This is the annual maintenance for that. And I imagine it's broken out in such detail for April's bookkeeping purposes. Gives you an idea what that $9,000 is for. Any other questions from council? Any public comment on the claims? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Thank you. There are two places to sign tonight. One of these is out of cycle. Next item on the agenda is the administrative reports. Police report, Chief Marble. Wherever you'd like, Chief.
Well, I sit right here because that'd be annoying for the police report. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to see. Okay, so as far as the monthly report goes, the copy with the copy, we have the Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Jeremiah Snyder. He's the head for this region of the Montana Hope Project. Really, really informative. Actually, I didn't even know everything they do. I had a pretty good idea, but it's pretty amazing what they do for these kids and the amount of money that they spend to give them their, I guess for lack of better words, wish that they can do. There was quite a turnout. You know, I think that's it was really a great sounding board for him to be able to discuss the Hope Project and talk about future plans for it and what they have to offer and so forth. We'll be having another one coming up soon. I believe that we have a guest for the next one.
It's pretty much going to be the mayor and yourself.
Oh, this is going to talk about, right. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the community issue that is on the agenda tonight, and finance and so forth. April will be there for that as well. So we do have the application, we're taking applications for the SRO police officer position. It closes on the 20th. I'm optimistic that we can find somebody that's qualified and has some experience. That would be wonderful. Not really. I mean, we could look at somebody at your level if they really had some wonderful things in place, but that's more of an experienced officer position. So I'm optimistic that we're going to have some good applicants. There's been some interest prior to the position being open from people that were outside the area that were retiring from their positions in law enforcement with their departments that were looking for something that was in line with the SRO position. So we'll see what happens. We, for some reason, are having recalls on the vehicles. I don't, just kind of got them all at once. So we're working through those. Fortunately, we don't have to pay for recalls, obviously, to just go ahead and fix whatever the issue is. So we're working on getting those done. And we've had help from Ron Capps, who's one of the reserve officers, to help transport those vehicles and get those things done. So for our statistics, for the month of June, 47 calls for service, year-to-date, 326. Citations. I'm not having a lot of time to go out and write citations. I think I've written two, and one was for fireworks, and the other was for driving suspended. He couldn't understand why I didn't have him put his hands out the window. One of the old people over here that remembers the old days. Anyway, so, you know. It was funny, because he's been gone for a long time. And so our, what's interesting about this, even though there's not a lot of activity, the calls for service haven't slowed, haven't stopped rolling in since it's been just me. And it's been a tremendous asset to have a clerk there available all the time. And we've basically developed a system. We have a CAD module, a dispatch module within the NOVA software system where we can just plug those calls for service in because I can't get to them right away. It's literally impossible. There's just too many. So when they get plugged in, I can get to them, prioritize within that CAD module, and answer the calls for service within a reasonable amount of time. So nothing is slipping through the cracks. Everything is getting dealt with. It may not be right away, but at least it's getting dealt with. So if you scroll down just a little bit more. Again, the numbers speak for themselves. When we don't have the officers out there working on those particular issues with speeding and so forth. I did get the traffic study done. That's on the agenda right now. Next council meeting, I'll be addressing that. I was shocked at how much traffic we really have on our local streets. I mean, I know Main Street gets a lot of traffic, but you know, just getting out there, and I wasn't out there that long. I think it was an hour and a half to go. Yeah, and I'll talk more about it later on when it comes up on the agenda, but the amount of traffic and the amount of people that aren't looking when they go through yield signs is astounding. Anyway, so any questions on anything as far as the report goes?
Any questions for the chief? From the public, Mr. Cruz.
June 1st, 316 9th Street, Stephenville, Montana. Why are you only advertising for one officer when you got two openings? If you go ahead and hire two of them, you can at least get them a training. If one of them bails out, you still got maybe one.
Because we can't hire or can't train two officers simultaneously. To go through the field training officer process, the FTO process, takes about 14 to 16 weeks, depending on how they're absorbing the training. And I can't do two people at once. So we have to do one, get them trained, get them out on the street, and then do the other. There's no other way to do it. I mean, we don't want to have another agency come in and train the officer. They're not going to train to what our standards are, what our policies are, that type of thing.
Thank you. Mr. Barnett.
Lou Barnett, 419 College. I just got a question. Looking at that, you had call for service 47. You had one citation, and you had four thefts. But you didn't have any investigations. I don't understand. At 47 calls for 160 hours, that's a month. That averages out 3.4 calls per day. And you said you weren't doing traffic, and you didn't do an investigation, and you had four thefts. What else were you doing?
So the way this, okay, this isn't new investigations. New investigations go on there. I've been spending most of my time doing the investigations that I currently have, trying to clear cases. And so the majority of my time, you know, new calls for service, you know, any of the calls for service that we have can be anything from informational to something that may develop into an incident. You know, the old system didn't have that breakout, you know, where it's a call for service, and then maybe it's an incident later on once you've investigated or whatever. The old system, as you recall, IMC, you either had arrests or you had incidents. So everything was an incident. The new system isn't like that. The calls for service do generate into incidents at times, but sometimes they don't because they could be of a different nature. So the incidents that are developed from calls for service will develop as those calls are addressed and investigated more. Does that make sense? So basically what I'm saying is the primary incidents that I've been working on have been the old incidents that I'm trying to work through, the felonies, some of the older misdemeanors, we're trying to get those dealt with. There are some new incidents that we've added that probably should appear on the next report that have generated from the calls for service. So we'll see different numbers next time. But yeah, the way it used to be, it was everything was an incident. And that's where you would see that difference. Does that make sense?
And Chief, you'll see a lot more into July because a lot of our calls for service did come near the end of June. So as they were being gone through by the Chief, then they were being generated, and then they'll turn into incidents for the month of July.
Mr. Close,
when you say you didn't have any investigations, you were referring to the calls for services and not the investigations that have already occurred. That's a different investigation.
In other words, we didn't generate new incidents from the calls for service yet. They could be generated, but I just, like I said, it's just me. I can only get to what I can get to. So there will be more incidents the next report that we have.
Well, that's why I was curious, because you had four thefts and you didn't say you didn't have investigations.
Yeah, there's still investigations, but they haven't been generated into an incident. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, from back in the old days to now.
That's confusing.
Yeah, and I get that. So they are still investigations, but they're incidents, they're created incidents from the calls for service. Because everything starts out as a call for service. And then once it's determined that there's a crime committed, it'll generate an incident. But I actually literally have to go in there and click that button to generate the incident. And if I haven't got to that call for service to see what the call is, whether or not there was actually a crime committed, then I haven't clicked that button to generate the incident.
So how do you keep track of the investigations you're doing from the other incidents that have now turned into crime? How do you keep track of those?
The system has what's called a dashboard, and it lists all of your incidents, calls for service, everything that's assigned to you, and you go through and you close those out. So if we get a call for service, and I've got this list of calls for service, okay, I go in, I look at it, you know, make contact with whoever the complainant is, and then determine if there was actually a crime committed, how we're going to address that issue, whether or not that creates an incident. Because a lot of stuff, as you recall, that we deal with are civil issues. You know, they'll come in. It's still a call for service, but it's not going to generate an incident because it wasn't an actual crime that took place. So the call for service, the incidents that I'm dealing with, I pull up and there's workload. There's a workload tab. I can click on the workload and say, okay, I've got to do this, this, and this with this case. You know, set it aside in the system. It reminds me. It's got a reminder function to say, you've got to get this done. Here's the due date. So it does give you the ability to stay on top of your cases, which is nice. But again, there's a lot of stuff to deal with. Basically, if we went from having three officers that were doing everything to just me, and I'm way behind, obviously. So.
Well, the only thing, the only question was, when you see it that way, see this here, it makes you wonder, you know, what were you doing? And you need to have a partner there saying, I did this in investigation. So it gives a true reflection of what you're doing. Because this here looks really bad.
Point noted. We'll look at the report and see if we can't find a way to demonstrate that. Mr. Cruz, did you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, two things, actually. One, could you please enforce the council rules so that people only speak when they're recognized by the chair and that they speak to the chair, not hold interim conversations? And two, we're being supported by the sheriff's department right now. Why aren't we getting a report from the sheriff's office about what's going on in town? Let's mark the police report.
Perhaps the chief can talk to the sheriff about that and see if we can get some statistics from them.
Yeah, I can ask him if he would have somebody come or at least provide statistics.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief? All right, we'll move on. Thanks, James. Public Works report. George. That's fine.
They can see what we produced, what we lost last month. As the summer progresses, the water goes higher, loss goes higher. We have two leaks right now on Pine Street to take care of, one leak at Morningstar Cafe, which is on their site, and we're getting the permits from the state to tear the sidewalk up, because it's right at the curb, just past the curb line. And we'll be working with them on doing that. Our hydrant flushing is just about done. And then, like you said, we replaced the new hydrant down there on 3rd and Buck. And right now we're keeping it covered, not letting anybody use it with the agreement of the fire department, because it's not paved around it. It's going to be a bloody mess if they start using it. It's hot and ready to go. They can use it if they have to. All they got to do is pull the bag off, and they can use that hydrant. So. And we treated just a little less on our wastewater this year. The blower replacement on number one, you know, this been kind of a carryover thing. We replaced it once. It had a problem right off the bat. It went back to the manufacturer, came back out, and it had a problem again with the pump that stops leaking oil and the electronic computer system. It was running that blower too slow, and it would overheat. That's what was wrong with it. Part of the problem was is the information didn't get to the manufacturer of the blower properly, the correct stuff. So they gave us another blower. They brought it out. They helped us install it. They worked with the computer tech, and this new blower is working at this point like it's supposed to. So. And our weekly manhole checks, and then, you know, that's a continuous thing. That's really been a help on our part, because we've actually caught manholes that were just starting to back up at the time. And it's normally trees that's causing problems. And then we just, today we finished up cleaning that tree that we had taken down up at the school. That was a nice big tree. It was too bad it had to go with it. Nice tree.
He was dead.
So, and seasonal workers are doing a very good job. Even though last week we had one of them gone fishing for a week with his dad in Alaska, the lady, she kept up with things. Like I said, the pool, yeah, we had a problem with it. We replaced some electronic parts and it ran for a while. And then thing started leaking water and turned into steam units. And once we opened it all up and took it apart, it's not a replaceable boiler. It needs to be replaced, period. It's basically been in there since 93, so its life expectancy is about shot. Because the interior is rotting away.
Any questions for George?
Mainly it was, I kind of asked a few months back if there was a way I could get a breakout on the, because the water usage is off of well field number 4, correct, of the total electric usage for well field 4 gives us that total. Mm-hmm. If we could take and do a cost breakout of our loss to where, because I think it's 3.5 cents a gallon it costs us to pump it, electricity-wise. And at 12 million gallon, that's still a significant amount of money. So.
Well, in there, too, the pool takes right at 100,000 gallons. And then we had to fill it a couple of times, you know, once it drops down a little bit. So.
It's a leaker.
It has a leak. So.
Okay. Any other questions for Public Works? Chief Molly.
George, when you're flushing the hydrants, are you testing them? Are you going to pay the water testing?
No, we haven't been.
Is it in the works to get done?
We can do that.
Nancy?
Nancy Lowell, 110 Church, 211 Church. No offense, but why does the water taste so horrible?
There's only two people in town that are complaining about the water.
Before.
Well,
you open the can of
worms. You gotta bring it up.
I drink it all the time. I see nothing wrong with it.
It's
the flushing may have stirred some things up as well, so hopefully as the lines get clearer, we have cleaner water. Okay. Mr. Cruz, do you have a question? Okay.
Just could you express our thanks, or my thanks, to the crew for all their hard work over the 4th of July for getting everything set up and all of that? Great job to you guys. So.
All right. Thanks, George. Move on to guests. I don't think we have any guests that would like to be recognized. We could this time recognize Ms. Audrey as our town clerk. This is her first day at work, and she got in and has done a great job and is happy to be here. So we welcome Audrey. Any other guests that would like to be recognized tonight? Mr. Monk.
I've got a couple of things I want to bring up.
Are you here for public comment or as a guest?
As a guest.
Okay. That works.
I had some public comment. The 12 million gallons you're losing every month, one of the things that the city tries to do is sell the city and make it feasible for people to move in. Make it pleasant, ethnic value. You have to take so much water that it has to go in the ground and replenish the aquifer. I understand that. Why not replenish the aquifer by giving people more gallons so they can water their lawns? You ride around town, it's all dried up. There's nothing going on. So that's just a suggestion. On the second part, I'm sorry that Chief Marvel has left. Okay. The other, you're here, good. The other night, a lady died in our neighborhood. I helped clean up the place the week before. And then when she died, we helped clean up more of it. She had a grandma come and a niece, 22 years old. And niece was over there cleaning up. Grandma had left and all. And this is to all the women in the audience, all their husbands that are available here. so that they know that she was over there. And I was sitting on my porch. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud noise. And this pickup truck, a white pickup, stops, starts backing up toward this guy. Realizes this guy is drunk. He's weaving down the street. I didn't think anything of it. Pretty soon I hear him again. He's over at the house with the 22-year-old girl. She's a teacher. He's threatening her. He tells her, "You tried to kill my dog. You tried to poison him. And I'm staying here and I own this house and you can't do anything about it." By now I'm up off the porch, I'm headed over. I get there. She's sitting in the car with the doors locked and the windows up. He turns and goes into his trailer. And I said, "What's going on?" She goes window down and visit. She says, "I called Chief Marvel and told him I had this guy here. And he refused to come because he was alone and didn't have any backup. I thought a police officer should respond to a drunk no matter what. And if it was your wife or your daughter, you would have the same feeling." I felt terrible for this girl. She started her car after we visited, and she drove off. And she didn't do any more cleaning that night. So I don't know what's going on, but that's not an acceptable response. If it's your wife or your daughter who's being accosted, we need a police officer who's at least willing to come down and face the music. Thank you very much.
Okay. There is no correspondence, but we can move right into public comment. Public comment's an opportunity to speak on anything on tonight's agenda or under the general jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Any public comment? Or you, if you want, or you can well, yeah, council
a,
comment.
Well, no, this is as a public citizen, too.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. I would really like to compliment, there's a couple individuals sitting down at the end down there, we're missing one, for their great job on what they did for the 4th of July picnic, how it turned out. Great job to Ms. Tanya. But excellent job to Mr. Motley and the Motley sitting next to him and the Motley that's not here and everybody that helped us. So would you please express our gratitude for your explosive techniques?
Yes, well done.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Mr. Tadbeck.
Jim Tadner, 519 Mission Street. My question is regards to the discussion decision agreement for ambulance billing services. Are we creating an ambulance?
We'll address that when we get to that topic. It's the public comment section.
Is Marcus Staley dropping out, Kirstie?
No, they're not.
So why are we getting the ambulance business?
You can ask that question when we get to that agenda item.
Glad I can.
Any further public comment? Mr. Motley.
I'd just like to put the thanks back onto the community for supplying the fireworks that we put out for you. So the appreciation really goes back to them. Thank you, Ray, for our, you know, our part that the community stepped up in a big way to make that happen.
Well, it was meant at everybody, you know, that participated, to be honest, but your explosive techniques went over very well, let me just tell you.
All right, we'll move on to unfinished business. Discussion decision for resolution 428, a resolution to place public safety mills on the general election ballot. This stems from the conversation we had at the last council meeting in regards to placing a mill levy on the general election ballot to help support the police department's staffing measures. Resolution is before you. Just to kind of review it, We did an analysis of the costs and found that $197,000 came out to 76 mills. And we went with the mill value versus just a flat dollar amount, so that as the property values in town increase, the value of the mill will do so likewise. The thing to highlight, I think, and this will obviously be reviewed in public hearings, that if you choose to go forward on this, is that it's the intent of the administration, at least, not to levy the full 76 mills at once, because we don't necessarily need the full 76 mills if we're hiring officers one at a time. So if it takes a one-year process to hire a police officer, we'll levy those mills as we need them. So we are asking for authorization for the 76 mills through this resolution and through the election. However, a schedule will be developed and presented to the public to show in what year those mills would increase to the full 76. How would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept Resolution 428, a resolution to place the public safety mills on the general election ballot.
Okay, Mr. Michelson's moved to adopt Resolution 428. Is there a second? Okay. Motion fails for lack of a second. Is there any alternative action the council would like to take or discussion? Ms. Holcomb.
I've been in contact with Julie Foster to see how the TED TIF district could help. I do have a print off on what that conversation and discussion was about that I would like to hand out. It gives you something to think about, that what's left over from the BE force, we can use those leftover funds. She did put some pros and she did put some cons to setting those funds into the district. So I'd just like to throw that out there. Would you like a copy to put in the record?
It sounds like this would be something that the council have to consider under a separate agenda item. If you choose to use this as an alternative, I guess, Ms. Holcomb, are you indicating that if we use leftover funding from the Big Sky Trust Fund?
Mm-hmm. That we could at least hire a police officer underneath that.
I don't know as though that's a long-term solution, because the Big Sky Trust Fund is generally a grant program that grants, you know, one-time expenditures, and I don't know as though we have any leftover money to draw from in our funds. We have, generally, Big Sky Trust Fund reimburses us once we do a draw request. So I don't know as though we're holding any cash from the Big Sky Trust Fund. Typically, that's a pass-through grant. We're just the fiscal agent. It passes through. But again, the levy's intent was to come forward with a long-term solution for police protection, versus something short-sighted. So I'll ask again if the council would like to proceed with this or move on to the next agenda item.
I thought somebody else, but yeah, just...
You want to put a motion forward?
Well, I would second Mr. Michelson's motion, I guess, then.
It already failed.
It already failed for lack of a second. You could put a new motion forward.
I put a motion to place a resolution to place the public safety mill on the general election ballot.
Okay, Mr. Smith has moved to adopt Resolution 428, placing public safety mills on the general election ballot. Is there a second? Is there a second? Motion fails for lack of a second. All right. We'll move on. New business, item A. An alcohol use permit for the Living Center's employee barbecue. This is related to a special event permit that came forward from the Living Center for their employee barbecue to be held at Lewis and Clark Park. Further clarification was provided to us as to where the alcohol would be consumed or allowed. And thanks to the chief, we have that answer. The coordinator, the manager over at the Living Center stated they would designate both of the patio or pavilion areas as borders for alcohol consumption. However, the entire park would still be open for visitors, and they'll identify facility employee families by wristbands to keep the public out of the area where alcohol is consumed. So, who was first? Mr. Smith, go ahead.
I make a motion to allow the alcohol use permit for the Living Center employee barbecue.
Okay, Mr. Smith's moved to allow the alcohol use permit for the Living Center barbecue. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, Ms. Holcomb seconded the motion. Is there any discussion from council? Any public comment? Mr. Barnett.
Chief, when you do the St. Patty's Day, they get a permit. Is that correct? Is that still going on? When you have to get a permit? When you have to sign it?
Special event permits.
Yeah. If it's a charity thing or something, they get free. Like $50. They don't have to pay the $50 fine.
I think are you thinking of a Department of Revenue form?
Yeah.
They're not selling any alcohol, they're just serving it. They're bringing coolers in and just...
But you still have to give permission, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Further public comment. Mr. Cruz.
Jim Cruz, 316 Lake Street. I protest the approval of the permit to serve alcohol because you're going to allow people who are drinking alcohol access to the skate park and the playground area. And I'm sorry, but cars and booze don't mix. I don't think skateboards mix either. Even if they're not down there, they may or may not. You don't know.
Any further public comment? Any more council comment? Okay, hearing none, we should proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Next agenda item is new business item B, discussion decision on resolution 429, a resolution adopting wages and salaries for the fiscal year 2019. The finance officer asked that we bring this forward before the budget adoption, primarily because typically when we do the wages resolution, we'll either do that when we do the budget adoption, and in some cases we've done it as late as October or November. She'd like to do it early, as it's allowed by law, to prevent us having to process any back wages, meaning that once you adopt this, if you were to adopt it with the budget in August, we have to retro pay salaries and wages. So that's the primary reason for this coming forward. There was also some confusion around positions and other wage issues around employees amongst the council, and I hope that this may maybe clear some of that up. You'll see on Schedule A a couple of changes to what you're probably used to seeing, and I provided this hopefully to kind of give you some more information. The maximum column is primarily the wage that person will be paid. That's the wage you're authorizing. The entry and midpoint columns are there so that you can kind of get an idea of if there was a vacancy in that position, this is probably the range we would work within to replace it, but we're asking for approval up to that maximum column. The other point I'll make is that there was some confusion whether the court clerk and town clerk were separate or the same. They're filled by the same person. I just separated them because of the departments. How would the council like to proceed? I should note, this is all incorporated into the fiscal year 19 budget with the $97 surplus you should see in your worksheets. Mr. Smith.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 429, a resolution adopting the wages and salaries for the fiscal year 2019.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Smith to adopt resolution 429. Is there a second? Okay. Motion fails for lack of a second. How would the council like to proceed? Okay, I'll ask again, how would the council like to proceed?
I think we need to talk about this in our budget because there's a lot of things up there that have not been approved.
Well, it's not been approved because it's up for approval tonight.
The water aerobics instructor has not been approved.
You're effectively approving that tonight. That's what we're asking for, is your approval. And you can make modifications to the schedule if you'd like to tonight and still move forward on adoption. Mr. Michelson.
And if we accept this, then we give you $1,666 a month.
That's correct.
And the public may comment now?
I'd like the council to give us a direction so that the public knows how to comment. Or if the council prefer, we can open it to public comment. Mr. Michelson.
And according to this, you're adding a court clerk?
No.
What are you
adding? As I clarified when I introduced the topic, the court clerk and town clerk have been separated on the list simply because of the departments they're in. They're one position filled by one person. There are two positions filled by one person.
And we're also hiring a zoning administrator?
That would be another position that would be filled by the building inspector. And that was something that was requested in the last budget but did not come to fruition.
And the public works director?
That's George's position.
Which is official position right now?
It.
Public Works Director.
You're right. How about the manager?
I think the biggest issue is the increase in the mayor's salary, to be honest.
Okay, would the council care to elaborate?
I just remember when you were first elected, you made the comment that you were not going to seek a raise, that you were going to accept the honorarium that was present and that you weren't, you know, looking to get a raise, that you were accepting what was the honorarium. And now it's being doubled. And we can go back to that meeting and get that record if we need to. But, you know, here we were asked as council members in our last budget meeting to take a reduction in our honorariums to $100 a month to balance the budget. And here we're increasing, you know, one salary by over 50%. Again, we were, you know, I get to the budget where the way I see it, we've kind of been presented three separate budgets at three separate levels. One, we were 120 plus thousand short, and then we were breaking even somewhat without making any changes. And then now we're hiring these other people, we're giving raises to everybody, and we're still walking away with a profit. I don't understand when we haven't changed anything within the budgeting itself. So if you could enlighten me on that, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So to clarify my comment when I was first elected that I wouldn't seek a raise, I told you I wouldn't seek a raise at that time, and that if I were to seek a raise or an increase in honorarium, that it would come forward through the budget process, and I was clear about that. But we aren't hiring any extra people. The water aerobics instructor is currently filled by a lifeguard, always has been. We're just delineating that position separately. The zoning administrator would be the only increase to staff, and that's being filled by, that would be filled by in-house staff. So we're not necessarily hiring anyone, and that's at a minimal rate, and it's offset by revenue from building permits. So hopefully that addresses the concerns that we're hiring extra people. The whole point of the budget workshop process was to work through the budget in order to come out with a balanced product. So yes, each meeting you did see a budget that had changed. And that most of those changes were based on your input, based on the input of the finance director and the input of the department heads as well. And as we massaged it and found where things could be reduced and increased and found that right point, then we were able to go back and look at the possibility of bringing back merit increases for the employees and restoring the council's salary back to $200 a month. And with that, we were also able to restore the mayor's honorarium to $1,600 a month, or as you see up there, $1,666, as it was during Mayor Minmack and Mayor Luddington's terms. Mr. Smith.
Actually, Mr. Luddington was at $833 also. He chose to take the reduction also.
It was reduced. He reduced it himself, but it was still budgeted for. He still had spending authority for that funding, so that if he wanted to hire an assistant or otherwise or accept that funding himself, he had that option. Mr. Michelson.
At the very first budget meeting, your very first words out of your mouth was due to the rumors circulating around this town of Stevensville that I am asking for a raise of $1,666. I will not be doing that during this budget. I will stay at the current rate of pay. I have the audio and I can provide that. That was the number one words out of your mouth, the number one budget meeting. And now you've changed that.
Because the situation of the budget has changed. I mean, the budget changed. We have more revenue than we anticipated. We were able to offset expenses. Mr. Smith.
I know I missed the last budget meeting, and I apologize, but I have yet to see a budget that shows me we're balanced. So I can't honestly approve this.
The worksheets are in your Dropbox. You have the worksheets in Dropbox. They were provided to you after the workshop.
I haven't. The ones I'm seeing in Dropbox are the same ones that I saw the first meeting, to be honest with you.
No. If you follow the link in the email that I sent you in regards as a budget update, that link takes you to the budget folder where the worksheets are provided to you.
The budget folder that I go to under the team folder, under the Stevensville team, is correct. Where I've gone, and that's the same one I continue to see, which was, in essence, the first one that was presented to us.
Okay. I'd encourage you to review the figures in that, because they have changed since the first time we printed those reports for you. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, I'm a little confused, because if I go to the 17-18 salary overview, are you willing to take, you're taking a loss compared to this. So you're getting a raise, but the public work director is taking a loss, and the JSC clerk is taking a loss compared to 17-18's budget.
So the 17-18 overview included me as an employee as the general services clerk, so that was at a higher rate. And that was before, when that was approved, that was before George became the public works director and the positions were separate. The reason I asked for an increase in this budget after we determined that the employees could receive their increases, and let me be clear, if the council were to take a $100 cut in their honorarium, and the employees were going to forego their merit increases, I would maintain that I would not have asked for a raise. The reason I asked for one is because I'm averaging 30 hours a week in the office as the mayor. Now, it was pointed out at a previous meeting that I should expect 20 hours a week minimum. And that's fair. I knew exactly what the job entailed when I ran for election. But that doesn't necessarily mean, at least in my mind, that it shouldn't be fairly compensated. There are concerns that I'm bringing my son to the office with me on occasion. You know, an increase in salary would help address that. And it would also allow me to commit more time to the town. Ms. Holcomb.
When previous Mayor Mimak was asking for a raise, I went around and I started asking other mayors what they made. I actually had a mayor tell me, if you're doing it for the pay, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And I don't even think the mayor of Hamilton makes this much.
I guarantee you, Ms. Holcomb, if I was doing this for the pay, I'd be asking for more than $1,600 a month. I mean, I'm not in this for the money. I would appreciate if it were fair. But there's also a number of towns out there who don't pay their council members either.
Well, I've already made my, I suggest that we talk about this during the budget so we make sure that we see the budget and not see the budget figures after the meeting. We would like to see them before the budget meeting. That was the reason why I didn't come. There was nothing to even look at before the budget meeting. I wasn't going to come in here blind. I would like to look at things. I'm speaking for myself, but there was no recommendations from the council yet on where we needed to go. The other budget meetings were just listening to the department heads and putting figures, and then we were told that we had a $125,000 deficit, which I'm still trying to figure out where we found all this money. Where did it come from? What line item did it come from? I mean, that's a lot of money to find out of the blue. Because I can remember two of the meetings, that's what we were deficit, $125,000. Where did it come from? So, I mean, it failed the second. I think we need to move on. And I think we need to discuss the wages in our budget meeting.
Okay, there are no budget meetings scheduled. The only other meeting scheduled is a public hearing where you'll seek public comment. Would you like to schedule another budget workshop since we failed to convene at the most recent workshop?
Sure. Okay. I mean, I won't be available this Thursday, but I mean, any other day would be fine. I mean, but I think we need to have another budget where we're all making comments. And we need to figure this out because I would like to see if this even works with our budget before I pass this.
Well, I wouldn't have brought it forward if it didn't balance the budget. But nonetheless, sorry, Vicki. Is the 16th attainable for a budget workshop?
Just schedule a meeting for that.
I know, I'm sorry. Or is there a date you'd like to put forward?
How long is it going to be?
Yep, I'm looking at it.
16th, fine with me.
Monday the 16th, that's a week from today. Is that enough time? Okay. The budget, preliminary budget workshop, or excuse me, preliminary budget document will be available this Wednesday, so you'll have time to review that document before the 16th as well, in addition to the reports that have been provided to you. Mr. Michelson.
According to Resolution 429A, Schedule A, you've breaking it down into three different classes, and that takes the power away from the council that sets the wages. That is against the rules of MMIA in the state of Montana. The council clearly sets the wages, not the mayor. And by putting this resolution in, you set the wages at the entry, midpoint, and maximum level, not the council.
Okay, and that was, again, as I prefaced, that what I was asking you to approve was the maximum salaries or wages on all of these. My attempt to give you entry and midpoint was as a guideline to give you an idea that if we had a vacancy, as sometimes we have, that we could move the wages around in order to accommodate salary savings in the budget. My intent was to give you more information rather than steal any authority that you have or control you have over setting salaries and wages over the organization. My intent was to give you more information and give you an idea of my philosophy, and when we have vacancies, we can move around in that dollar amount. You set the dollar amount and you give us a budget, but if we want to pay someone less than $22 an hour because of a vacancy and because maybe their qualifications don't warrant $22 an hour, I think I should be allowed to lower that wage in order to save the town funds. Mr. Michelson.
I'm sorry, but you do not have that power to lower the wage. You don't even have the power to set these wages right here.
No, that's why we're here tonight, so that you can approve them. Mr. Smith.
Well, as I said before in the budget meetings that I did attend, and then I still question it, with the salary for the entry level of our public works people, to me, should be increased. And that's kind of what I asked in those budget meetings to do. And so we do need to look at those other options because I, you know, not to be rude or anything, but you know, that for the work they do, I just feel that they should be kind of compensated a little better. I don't know how we would do that, Mr. Mayor, but
sure. I would maintain that I think that the police department's salaries, in regards to their, especially their clerk, but also their police officers, we also probably should take a look at those wages and see what can be done to increase those. Since my honorarium seems to be somewhat of a sticking point, no matter what, I'd ask the council to give me a recommendation as to what they feel is a reasonable honorarium for that position. Mr. Michelson.
I'd say the one that you were elected on, you ran on a certain position, a rate of pay.
Well, I believe you did the same, sir.
I did.
And the council's salaries have changed.
Yes, they have. $25
a month.
They were $200 for a lot of years. They went down to $175 before I was on council to help defray the cost of Mr. Minmack's increase. So on this budget, you asked us to defray the cost to go to $100, and also saying you weren't going to take an increase at the first budget meeting, and now, to be nice, you're putting us back at the 200, but you're also asking for a 100% increase on yours. $100 is a whole lot of difference than $800.
You're absolutely right.
And I know you do a lot more work than council members. I know your job. I know it's hard work. I know you have to meet a lot of people. I know there's things that you don't like to do that you have to do. There's tough decisions you have to make. But that's the job you took. That's a job that you were elected to do.
Is the council open to taking public comment? Okay. Let's open public comment. Mr. Cruz.
Jim Cruz, 3169 Street, Stephenville, Montana. I don't even know why you're taking public comment, because the issue's dead. You didn't get a second. The item failed. And then you held discussions. We need to move on to the next agenda item and discuss this at a council workshop.
I feel it's important for the public to have a right to participate on tonight's agenda item, so I'm allowing public comment. Ms. Perrin.
Jen Perrin, 503 Charlotte. It seems to me that all of this discussion should have taken place in your budget workshop meetings. Are the council members attending those meetings? They don't seem informed.
Mr. Smith.
I attended every single one of the meetings, other than the one I missed due to my medical condition, but I have attended every one, and this was never presented to us in any one of those that I did attend.
Okay. What about the other council members?
Ms. Barker.
I attended all those meetings as well, but the last one, because the stuff was not in front of us at the time. At the time, all that other information had been placed in front of us until this last meeting. None of it was there. I remember not knowing what was going to happen. I want to be prepared. I was not being able to be prepared because of that.
Ms. Holcomb?
And I was the same. I attended every meeting except for the last one for the same reason. We did not have a budget in front of us we can look at. And this wages were never brought to our attention.
But isn't that what you do in the last budget meeting, is review the budget?
We didn't have it.
So, well, you didn't go to the meeting.
It was never put out there for us to even look at before the meeting.
So, point of order, she has the floor. Please let her finish her and raise your hand respectively, each of you. Otherwise, everybody's talking at once, and that's not Robert's Rules of Order's way of doing it.
Ms. Perrin, are you done?
Thank you. I have no more questions.
Okay. To clarify on the workshop that was not attended, April and I worked all day on the budget documents to making sure that those were as accurate as possible for your workshop. Because it was down to the wire onto whether or not we would even be allowed to do merit increases or restore some of the cuts we had previously made. The budget's ever changing. I mean, it's just one of those things, as we're in the budget season, where things are still fluid. I think that not attending a meeting because you weren't given any documentation ahead of time isn't necessarily rational. Now, no point did anybody in the office, including myself, receive a phone call or correspondence asking, hey, I haven't seen this. Other than Mr. Smith, shortly before the meeting, did let me know that he didn't see anything in there, but that he wasn't going to make it. Nobody else reached out and said, hey, Brandon, I don't see the documents in there. Am I missing something? And your response probably would have been, you know, we're still working on it. April's working to get this as close as we can. We'll give it to you tonight and give you as much time as you need to at that meeting to go through it, where you would have seen the salary increases, including the mayor's salary. It sounds like we can delve into this again on Monday night, and so we can move on. That's fine. More public comment. Ms. Motley.
What time is the budget meeting going to be?
We'll hold it at 6:30.
Up until that last week?
No, they've always been at 6:30. All the workshops have been at 6:30. Ms. Lowell.
I just wanted to say I'm very confused on why you're doing your wages now. That should have been the first thing that was done back in March. You know, because it is the wages in the general fund are 65% of it. And then that's a figure up there, but then you have to add 33% on for your retirement, Social Security, other things, plus insurance. So, you know, that looks like an hourly wage, but it is a lot more. But boy, my recommendation, I would start the salaries in March and have that done, because it is a huge, huge part of it.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Mr. Motley.
Trevor Motley, 318 9th Street. I guess I would pose to the council, and I hope that you'll hear me. I feel like the mayor's position is essentially the CEO of the town, and since we've had Brandon as the mayor, the town seems to have done relatively well, and I think that his pay should reflect that. I work at a nonprofit in an entry-level position, and my take-home pay is probably greater or the same as Brandon's current take-home pay.
I think that the mayor should be compensated for the job he is expected to do and is currently doing. So I would hope that you guys would raise his salary to compensate him for the hours and the job that he's doing. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Ms. Eckert.
Actually, I just have a question. What are the positions that are lumped together?
In the proposed budget, the court clerk and town clerk are lumped together. And zoning administrator and building inspector are filled by the same person as well.
Okay, well, how many hours do they get?
The police clerk and, or excuse me, the town clerk and court clerk, those are, it's a 60-40 split, so it's a full-time position. The zoning administrator is literally an hour and a half to 2 hours a week, max. And that building inspector works 2 days a week currently. Further public comment? Mr. Tadvik.
Yes, I have to just make a point that you ran the mayor on the salary that was posted, and you said you'd stay at that salary. And I think you should stay there.
Okay, any further public comment? Chief Motley.
I'm Jeff Motley, 39th Street. I, like the rest of the council, have attended every council meeting, with the exception of the last one, and I got a year 7, and it was not in session. However, also as a department head, I come to the council are the budget workshops expecting to do work, expecting to have changes and to make changes and to move things around. I don't come expecting to have all the information laid out in front of me because it's a workshop where we can get together and we can discuss and we can talk about it and we can give pros and cons and whys and why nots so that we can make budget adjustments and changes. I think the fact that these numbers are coming before the council tonight in lieu of waiting until we have a passed budget and retro-paying everybody makes perfect sense. The proposal on the board tonight could be amended and changed tonight rather than throwing a whole other meeting in there and prolonging the whole process. I just think we need to think about what it is we're really trying to accomplish here and not our own personal agendas and take care of the business at hand. I also believe that the mayor, yes, said he would run initially for the wage that was presented, but nobody stays at their same starting salary forever and ever, amen, until death do us part. Everybody gets a raise and an increase based upon merit, based upon what they're doing. And I agree with Trevor's comment that the mayor seems to be doing a great job for this town. And look what we've accomplished just last year. This town's gone leaps and bounds where we were. We had a great community 4th of July event go off this last. We had a great heritage days, Western days. The town's doing well. I mean, let's look at what we're doing. Let's keep the town growing. Come together instead of divide.
Ms. Molly, did you have a comment?
My only thought was on this salary schedule. In order to alleviate confusion, would it be better to show that the building official is also the zoning administrator, so that there's no assumption that that's a new position.
And we can, we'll likely rework the schedule now that we've heard that confusion. Yeah. Further public comment. Sure, Nancy.
You know, the bottom line is, you know, you said you had your balanced budget, but the bottom line is, do you have enough money to start doing things? I mean, you said it was balanced. You look at this, there's raises. I mean, I'm totally confused on, you said it was $125,000 at the meeting at the church, and you told me it was balanced. So,
correct. So to clarify the timeline, when we first started our budget conversations back in May, what we did was we took exactly what the department heads asked for. We took a COLA increase, which was, I think, like 1.8%. We took all of our merit increases at the maximum. At that time, we didn't know what merit increases would be quite yet. And we plugged everything that was asked for into the budget, and we came out with $125,000 shortfall. And then the solution was brought forward to pull back merit increases and eliminate the COLA increase. And then we asked the department heads to go back through their budgets and comb some things out. They did an effective job of doing that. Our revenues are coming in higher than anticipated. We were able to offset costs in other creative ways. And so then we came, actually remarkably, came back with a $15,000 surplus in the general fund. And that's where, when I say the $125,000 shortfall, I mean in the general fund. Overall, the budget was okay. So once we found that surplus in the fund, general fund, then we were able to go back and look at merit increases and other increases throughout the budget and refund some of the programs that were cut. And that the overview of that was intended to be, we shared at the previous budget workshop, but we can, you know, obviously re-delve through exactly how that looked. But that's how we got from there to here.
Okay. It was just a little confusing.
Right. We did, our initial budget meeting was about salaries. That was what we delved into, and the result there was is everybody kind of walked down with low heads because I suggested that we freeze wages and that the council take a cut. And once we got through the process as it was supposed to work, and I have to commend the department heads and the staff for their input, we came out with a surplus. And as it sits today, we have a surplus of $97 and a 49% reserve, cash reserve. So we're in a healthy position in regards to the general fund, and the other funds are sound as well. Any further public comment before we move on? Ms. Tadnick.
Thank you. I guess, Brandon, people would have a hard time. I have a hard time when I was working. I never saw after just a few months of being in my job where somebody came along and doubled my salary. You know, I understand you have a family, and I understand that you have a little one, and I hope you're enjoying him because he's certainly a cute baby. But I can't see you getting a double salary. You know, maybe if you ask for $100 more a month, maybe the town could afford that. I know I'm sitting here with two other mayors, and I don't believe their salaries were like that. And I just think that maybe you should look at what your salary is. I don't know about the others. I think they are pretty reasonable. But I really think that doubling your own salary really looks bad for the rest of the town employees. Thank you.
Okay. Any further public comment? Mr. Perrin.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charlottes. When I served on the council a number of years ago, we set a committee together, and we tried to do some work in regard to the mayor's salary and the job. And I guess that what came out of that were a couple of things. But one of them principally was that we should tell someone coming in that it's at least a 20-hour-a-week job minimum. And I think that going forward, that the one discussion that we had, the things we talked about were the fact that what's fair. I mean, because we're working on somebody, we're asking at least 20 hours a week, and we're giving them, whatever it was, like $800 a month. That's really not fair, that's not practical to expect somebody to do that. I mean, if somebody's retired, they can do it. If somebody had another job that would allow them the freedom to put the time in, to, you know, at night or whatever else, maybe they can get away with it, but it's not very practical if you're going to open it up where you can get more people that are willing to serve as the mayor to do that. It's not fair from what the public's asking of someone to do the job. And I think that the $20 an hour at 20 hours, I mean, it's more hours than that, we know that, but even if we could set it at that, that would seem to be fair, and we'd be able to appeal to someone, possibly at least make it feasible so they could survive if they chose to take the job. And that's one of the things we looked at. It's really hard. Somebody's got to either be retired or have another job and have the flexibility to be able to do that. And we now might not always be able to get people to do that. So it seems it would be fair for us to set a reasonable salary and be able to pay it.
All right. We'll continue this conversation on Monday, July 16th at 6:30 here at Town Hall. Moving on to new business item C, discussion decision on an agreement for ambulance billing services. I will introduce the topic, however, the city attorney, while he does have this on his desk, hasn't had a chance to get it back to me in time for your consideration. There's no red flags necessarily that stand out on this. However, if you guys choose to table this until a further meeting for consideration, that's appropriate. But let me at least give you some background, so because there's some public here tonight that's interested. This came forward when the fire department moved forward on acquiring a transport license for their EMS service, and that enabled them to more appropriately transport patients when Marcus Daly's ambulance service isn't able to serve our area. It happens few and far between, but it is an occurrence that happens, and we wanted that ability to take care of the people in our neighborhood. So we moved forward with a transport license that's been acquired. It was the recommendation of Department of Public Health and Human Services with the state that we do some sort of billing system so that when we do transport, we can bill for that service, primarily for insurance and Medicaid purposes, Medicare and Medicaid purposes. What happens apparently is that when Medicare and Medicaid catch wind that you're transporting for free, then they cut everyone else's reimbursements. And so then the other systems nearby lose out on their funding and we lower the average. We didn't want that to take place. We wanted to make sure that the other ambulance services don't necessarily lose their subsidies or their fundings. And so we asked for a recommendation from the state as to who appropriate billing contractor would be for a community of our size, and they recommended Pintler. They've heard positive reviews throughout the state from agencies in our position. So the intent is to only bill when insurance or Medicare or Medicaid require so, and not necessarily transfer any extra cost onto the taxpayer of Stevensville, since they're already funding the system through their tax dollars. The other benefit to billing is that with the 10 or 11 transports that we anticipate throughout a calendar year or fiscal year, we hope to offset some of the costs of the entire EMS department so that it takes a little bit of pressure off the general fund to about that amount. So it's a break-even point, and it's with good intentions. Chief, anything to add?
No, that pretty much sums it all up. We're not in a 24/7 ambulance service. That's not our model. Our model is to provide backup care and transport to Marcus Daly Ambulance that is serving the community 24/7 with a paramedic service. However, most evenings of the week, there are only three staffed ambulances for the whole valley, Darby, Hamilton, and Stevensville. If Hamilton does a transport, Stevensville rolls south. And Darby, they just flip-flop up and down the valley for coverage. In those instances when our Stevensville ambulance is covering Hamilton or Darby, we don't have a transport. Now you're waiting 45 minutes for somebody to come from the south end of the valley when we can have you in definitive care in Missoula. That's the reason why we wanted to pick up a transporting license, so that our members, our volunteers that are running that ambulance, that are providing the needed care for our community, are covered. Are covered liability-wise, are covered licensure-wise, are covered. And that's the reason why we've gone forward and obtained the transfer license. It's primarily to cover our employees or volunteers that are providing service to our community members. It's nothing more than that. We do not want to be in a full-time 24/7 ambulance service. We can't staff that.
Yeah, that was my major concern.
We can't do that, but when we're on a cardiac call and you need to move, we need to have the ability to move you. And that's all we're asking for. And what we ran into with that billing, we're the free bus Well, then that kicks Marcus Daly right in the teeth, because now, oh, why don't you use a free bus? We don't want to do that. We want to be a partner of Marcus Daly. We want to help them provide service to the community. And that's what all this is. And yeah, it's a lot of paperwork, and there's more groups and rooms to jump through, but we feel that that's a service we need to be providing to our community, because we are on the edge, as you guys know. You've ran for years. You know. You understand that. I mean, that's all we're really trying to do. And we were able to obtain a wonderful piece of equipment to do this with for a tremendous value and savings. It just makes sense for the community. And those of you that we've provided services to can attest to what we're doing. And that's all we're trying to do. And this is just one of those groups that we have to go through. And if you read through the whole contract, and we can have to be copies of it, it's a win deal for the citizens of our community, because we at any time we can cancel any billing, any charges, or whatever. But yet we do have a tool in place that we will be able to go ahead and bill and be in line.
You're going to be able to pay.
We've looked at our billing structures and fees. Yeah, and we would just do a flat call rate. For those that are actually transporting, you know, to compensate that individual for that hour and a half, or whatever their time is. And that will all be in the billing structure, and yes, the bill would go out, and if it's a hardship case or whatever you deem it, you know, we don't collect. Okay, fine.
So this agreement is just one piece to the puzzle. You'll see this topic come up multiple times throughout the summer, because we also need to adopt fees. There's some policies we need to adopt in regards to HIPAA and billing processes and collections and that sort of thing. So the agreement just gets us started with Kintler. They've agreed to help us through the rest of the process and help us with our fees to make sure that our fees are sound and will fund the system, and also to help us with any policies that the council needs to come back and adopt. So you'll see these things keep kind of creeping up. And we hope to, you know, be fully ready to go by fall. Ms. Barker.
I just have one question. Do our fire department have to be qualified like the regular paramedics are through Marcus Daly? Do we have those in hand already?
We are staffed at a BLS level, basic life support level. They're not paramedic qualified, no, but we are. National registered, state of Montana registered EMTs, and we can transport.
What's that put us at a liability level if something does go wrong in between that transport?
We are BLS level, we have insurance for that. We're all covered. You're already paid.
The liability would be as if an EMT acted outside of their scope of practice, which we're insured for anyway. There's not necessarily a liability in treatment-wise, because we're providing the same level of care that we were providing on scene. We're just doing it going down the road 10 times a year.
If that.
Mr. Michelson.
Does the town of Stephenville have an EMS transport license?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, according to DPHSS, it said yes. In order to have an ambulance service, the town is required to have an EMT on call, appropriate equipment, and a medical director.
Which we have. We do not have, we have several of us on call 24/7.
And also the contract requires at least one staff member as a certified ambulance compliance officer through the Nation Academy of Ambulance Compliance. Who would this be, and who would be incur the cost of this?
Those are all processes and procedures that we're establishing.
Who's the medical director for the town, Steve?
Dr. Nancy Trainwell. Has been for years.
And of course, we don't know now how much the medical director is going to have to cost the town.
She does it for zero cost and has been for years.
Mm-hmm. Will this person be a volunteer for the fire department?
She used to be, but currently is not. She's our medical director.
And how much is it going to cost the outfit, the ambulance, and keep it maintained?
It's already been done. It's part of our quick response unit, and so that was already funded. And So we're not asking for any extra expense in outfitting anything. It's ready to go regardless whether we transport or not. It's available.
We actually have two of them.
We do have two.
Okay. I know this is a...
Mr. Michelson?
This is kind of off the wall. This was brought up at the last council meeting on the last Monday, 2 Mondays ago, when it was brought up about two people that was in a firefighter unit, and Mr. Motley responded that it was good for, what did he say?
It's good PR to show her.
Good PR. Okay. Councilmember Holcomb asked me to call MMIA, which I did this morning. I did reach legal counsel Angela Simonson. I have her number and address if you want to call her, Jeff. She stated specifically that it is unlawful for anybody that is not on the fire department to be in any fire vehicle whatsoever due to liability issues. If some are to get in an accident or into a wreck.
Okay, this doesn't necessarily relate back to the billing services agreement, so I just ask that we keep it on subject. If the council, has two options in regards to the agreement. They can table it, or they can approve it with the condition that the city attorney review it.
Point of order, I had the floor.
You did, but you were off topic.
I still had the floor.
But according to Robert's Rules of Order, if it's not pertinent to the motion on the floor, you can't discuss it.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we table the agreement for ambulance billing services to the 23rd, July 23rd council meeting to give it time for our attorney to look at.
Okay, Ms. Holcomb has moved that we table the agreement to the July 23rd town council meeting so the attorney can review. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Any further discussion from council? Any public comment? Mr. Chadwick.
And I just want the council to know that this is a great idea and something that has been needed for an awful long time. Both Leslie and I served on the ambulance for almost 15 years. And there are times when we'd be on the call, the second call to come in, and there's no ambulance available. And like you said, it might only be 10 to 12 times a year. It'd be well worth it. If we can get it done, let's get it done.
Chief. Okay. If there's no further public comment, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Concludes the business section of our agenda. Move on to the executive report. As I said earlier, welcome to Audrey, to the team. Today's her first day, and with a couple of staff absences, some unexpected, she adapted well, and I'm confident she'll be a great fit for the position. Tomorrow and Wednesday, she'll spend most of her time being acquainted with the court while the judge is here. As I shared earlier, the preliminary budget document will be available and published on Wednesday for your review. We'll make sure that it's posted in Dropbox and that we're clear where that's posted in Dropbox. And we'll also make it available to the public on the town's website. The recent fireworks display was well received by the community and went off without incident. Thanks to the fire department for their safe work and to Fort Owen Ranch and Farmer State Bank for their sponsorship. That's appreciated. In the coming weeks, we'll be moving forward on an RFP process to begin the market analysis that the Department of Commerce granted to us this winter. We'll keep you updated on that process as it moves forward. Remember, that's a grant that came from the state to assist us in doing a downtown market analysis to figure out exactly how the business climate looks in Stevensville. Advertising process obviously is underway for a police officer / school resource officer, and we're receiving applications for that. Through the remainder of the summer and into the fall, we'll have the general services clerk moving forward on a safety review of all facilities, as well as an audit to note ADA deficiencies. This was something that came up through the budget process. The results will help guide next year's budget priorities, as well as if there's simple accommodations we can make now, we'll put those into effect, as long as they're, you know, not cost prohibitive. And lastly, I received a request from the attorney and counsel for information pertaining to positions, employees, and wages. It's something that April and I are continuing to compile, She'll be back in the office tomorrow. She was out sick today, and I hope to have it ready by day's end tomorrow or Wednesday morning for your guys' review. Any questions for the executive? Okay, council comment. Mr. Smith.
I, again, would just like to thank the mayor for his hard work on the 4th of July, the fire department. Is there, or would it be appropriate for me to create a little publisher document that says attaboy to those individuals and possibly to Myla and to Farmer State Bank to recognize what they did for us and how much it was appreciated?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Any further council comment? Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up something that's kind of disturbing to me. I know it's not popular. I know people will take it wrong. But this was an email that I sent to Mayor Dewey last Thursday, and it was stating to the reason why I did not attend the budget workshop is because I did not have the packet. I replied that there is no law that says we have to get your permission to be absent from a budget workshop. Apparently there is no law, as you ran the workshop without any council member knowing the council sets the budget. Regards, Bob Michelson, Town Council President, Ward 2. To which you replied, Mr. Michelson, the tone and nature of your email are disturbing to me in a number of ways. It appears that you feel laws are more important than human decency, which seems to be lacking in most of your communications for me. Firstly, I do not indicate that my permission was required to be absent from the workshop. I simply ask that you are not going to attend a meeting to give myself and the staff the courtesy of a phone call or email, so that we do not waste time preparing for you to come. Again, workshops do not require a quorum. However, they are designed so that you can provide consultation and advise into the budget. There are a few department heads and staff who took the time out of their evenings and away from their families to attend the workshop, prepared to participate. I updated them on the budget status so that they were that their time and their own was not wasted. Mr. Michelson, I have spent 9 years of my career in public service, six of those of which the town of Stephenville. While the position of mayor is relatively new to me, I fully understand the workings of local government and what is needed for good and effective governance. I have a solid foundation, and I am more interested in putting my skills and experience to work for this community than listening to you, someone who has only been involved in this organization for 2.5 years, regurgitate the laws that you think apply to me. Further, you disregard the laws that also apply to you, as demonstrated in the last council meeting in accordance to the press and outside legal counsel. I'd like to correct that. I did not have outside legal counsel. I mentioned Lou Barnett, Nancy Lowell, and Mayor Cruz. I don't think any of those three are lawyers. Over the past 6 months, it is apparent that you have been more occupied with obstructing my facilitation of the council's business and the affairs of the town, and you have noticeably lost touch with the citizens you and I represent together. If you are not going to play a role in moving our community in a positive direction and work forward towards a good and effective government and municipality, I respectfully request that you resign and step aside and allow someone else to an opportunity to make a positive difference in our town. Obviously, I cannot, nor would I, force you to make this decision, but I ask as a citizen in your ward and as a chief elected officer of a town that you resign. I'm tired, Bob. The energy I spend responding to unnecessary attacks on my character and leadership would greatly benefit us in other ways. I concede that you, in fact, made my life miserable, just by admittedly set out to do. However, I find encouragement in the words of Anne Frank, who said, "He who has courage and faith will never perish in misery." I'm not exactly sure what you think I need to be prepared for, as you stated in your response, but I can assure you that we'll get through it. Sincerely, Brandon Dewey. I would encourage the people that earlier this year, when Mr. Dewey allegedly said that three or more council members were trying, colluding to get rid of him, and brought up the email situation to the public, to the press, to the paper, to the TV. I would encourage you all to go Look through the emails now, Mr. Perrin. Look through them now. The council has not one email, but every email is from the mayor to her, to me, personal attacks, every one of them. It's not us. It's the mayor that's doing this in emails. So please, go to the Freedom of Information Act tomorrow. Read the emails yourself. The proof is right here. You won't see one from us. We quit emailing because of the debacle that happened. And that, take this personally. When he said that apparently laws mean more to me than the common decency. We are a nation of laws. If we can't go by the laws of the councils of the town, then what the hell are we doing here? It's the council's job to do the laws and to do. It's the council's job to keep him in line, to bring up jobs like he, like the perfect example is approving Hugh Roberts' instructor. That never come before council for approval. He just put her to work, put her on the payroll. What happens if she drowns? What happens if that's something? That's a big liability on the town. That's why we have a process that goes through. That's why at the last meeting we're playing catch up with different positions because the mayor just seems to go rogue and just seems to just put jobs up without going through the council, going through the proper procedures. And but yet he has the decency to say that I feel the laws are more important than human decency. I don't get it. Why is the council here if we can't follow the laws to the best of our ability? We're not perfect. And I don't have a vendetta against him. I just want to go by the rules of the law set before the council. He has his powers, we have ours. Thank you.
Any further council comment? Ms. Olin.
I would have to back Councilperson Michelson on this because I was going to bring this up about it. It appears that you feel laws are more important. We're based on laws. Every place is based on laws. And I did not print my email out that Brandon, the mayor, wrote back at me, and all I did was ask a question about three jobs that were made up that we did not approve. And you should have seen this email that he wrote back to me. It was not the best. And, you know, there is no vendetta against the mayor. There never has been. We just want him to understand what his rules are. He likes to throw it back at us that we don't know ours, but we do know what part we have to do, and we do know what part the mayor has to do. And with, you know, with the Star writing their own thing about vendetta, where was the Star when Mimak had a vendetta against me? I almost lost my job. That's why I'm no longer there. Because he was going to my job and attacking me through my boss. Where was the article in the paper when he was doing that to me? There wasn't. We don't have a vendetta against the mayor. We would like for him to do what is right by the town. And to go and make up jobs like the waterworks aerobics, and, you know, and he was telling us that, yes, I did do my homework and I should have done it before. But when he was telling us about the public works assistant, it was called the roads assistant that was vacant. We just feel like I feel like you're lying to us when you make up stuff and you said that the police clerk was put in the budget as a full-time position. It wasn't, it was part-time. I have it right here. It might have been in we might have put it in the 19 or the 1820 or the, I'm sorry, 1819 budget, but this is the one we're working on right now. We haven't even passed that one. So again, there is no vendetta against our mayor. I wish that he would just do his job. And when I sent in an email asking why you did. I don't expect an email back crucifying me.
Further council comment? Ms. Barker.
I just have some things that would like to be clarified. In our last council meeting that was held on June 25th, you stated that to the council and the public that the budget was balanced. Then on June 29th, you sent out an email stating that you and the department heads was pleased to announce that we were able to balance the general fund budget. How can the budget without the council be there be set? Yet you prior told the public it was balanced. If I was you, I wouldn't have said anything until it was complete, Mayor Dewey. I also have the flowers that I asked you about that came forward in the claims report at the last meeting in the total of $510. You said that came from Economic Development Fund. I did a little research and it came out of the general fund, account number 411201, which is the town hall annex building fund. Nowhere in that fund does it state flowers. Let me read to you for the record for what this fund is. We have small non-capital equipment, operating supplies, which is the town hall's portion of cleaning supplies, TP garbage supplies. We have repair and maintenance supplies, R&M supplies for the town hall, annex building, camp, carpet shampooing, etc. Building repair and maintenance, utility services, professional services, repair and maintenance services, insurance, annex property insurances, and a portion of the town hall property insurance. If you state something, please make sure that you're bringing it out of the right fund. This was also supposed to be taken care of by the Main Street Association and the beautification project done by them. That included care of the plants as well. It wasn't supposed to be on the town of Stevensville's funds. I also asked Pam, the lady who was taking care of the flowers, if she's doing this as a volunteer job. She told me no. She was hired as a special seasonal position person to do this. She wasn't budgeted for the hire through the town. We only had two seasonal positions that we were advertised for, and those were both hired for. We did not have three positions open. The Main Street kiosk machine. I received an email from Lorraine Roach about the kiosk. First off, I see the different stages of what they're wanting to do. I know that it was discussed at the park board meeting. I believe that this was the first of the year. The council has not yet seen anything, where it was going, or when it was being brought to us. As the location of the Veterans Park is what they are wanting to do, this was not designed for that. We had a mural painted that now is going to be partially covered by the big kiosk that will be on the main street next to their building. And that's where they're wanting to put it. I think that we need to look at the bigger picture. I don't believe this is the place to put it. This is my opinion, and I hope others will take a look at it before moving forward with the town council. I just kind of want to read what the interpretive outline for finalizing and approval of the steps and stages are. Text writing designed for all panels, including photographs, photos, maps. Removal of the cottonwood tree in Veterans Park, evacuation, leveling of ground, irrigation repairs, installation of sidewalk and concrete pad. Finalize approval design with 8 panels. Send iZone fabrications, order brochures, racks to affix to the kiosk. Construction of the kiosk structures, installations of lights, installation of complete panels and brochure racks, grand opening of the kiosk, installation of visitor center 1 mile sign, which will be off of US Highway 93 to draw more visitors off the highway and into the town. If I were you, I would take a look at what we have down at that Veterans Park. That Veterans Park is for our veterans. I don't think it should be for a visitor center kiosk. That's all I have to say.
Any further council comment? Any board reports? Mr. Smith.
Airport board, we basically have a fly-in, trike fly-in coming up. We have one of the pilots that is going to give a presentation about glaciers in the Bitterroot that he's presented to hundreds of people across the country at a time everywhere he goes. So if you have an opportunity to get to the airport and take a look at some of the trikes up there and what's going on, it might be a fun day for you. It sounds like they'll be having flights that you can take for a reduced cost that will go to supporting the event. They're going to have a barbecue, a band, and some other things, so more information will be coming on that. Other than that, Same thing in the airport board.
Okay. Any other board reports? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Ms. Parker.
Second the motion.
We'll move the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The meeting's adjourned.
Brandon, when is that?
June.
July.
July. Thank you. Coming up real soon.
It starts the 14th.
14th.
It starts the 14th, so it's how long of a...
Through the weekend. It's like the 14th.
They're here for 7 days.
7 days, yeah.
Yeah, they're here for a whole week.
A week.
So 14th, and I think they leave the 21st.
I'll get you all the information, because they still have...
They're coming this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bitterroot Glacier one is on the 19th. At the Living Center. Bill Watkins on the outer. I have it on the Stevensville